what Brooklyn sounds like.
Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. And I'm Dr. Lisa, and I give a shit. How are you doing today? You know, hold on a second. I'm getting a call. Wait 1 second. Hello?
Is this Lisa?
Yes. David?
Dr. Lisa?
Yeah, is this you, David?
This is David. How are you?
Good. Will you hold on a second? Because I have to explain to people what's going on here. Okay. Thank you for calling.
Me too.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what's going on, folks. This hasn't happened to me in years, but I was supposed to have this guest. I sent them a note and stuff like that. I'm blaming myself that I got screwed up. I don't know, but I'm blaming myself, okay? Because this woman, I don't know how it got screwed up. I don't know what's going on, but this woman who I'm really like right now, I'm like mostly personally just disappointed because I was dying to meet her. Her name is Joanne Brealey, and she's the festival director and founder of the Black Woman in Comedy Festival. And she just wrapped up the festival, which is probably why she didn't show up, because she probably has more important things to do than be on my radio show. So anyway, but I am really disappointed. And I realize right now that I have the great good fortune of my friend David Kramer called in. Hi, David.
Lisa, how's it going?
Good. Are you going to do me a favor and hang out with me for a while until see if Joanna shows up?
More important shows up?
Yeah, until my real guest shows up. Will you hang on?
I will.
David, thank you. You are a very good friend. You get extra friend points just for showing up.
That's great.
I hope Joanna and I will become friends, even though she did not show up. But first, I just want to remind people with their... So let me do my intro, David, okay? Hang out for just 2 minutes. 1 minute.
Okay.
Okay. So anyway, you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We worked that out, right? And this show is Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. It's every Thursday, 2 to 3. Normally, I interview people, and we have kind of a faux psychotherapy session, but we're gonna have to don't worry, I'll get Dave to spill something he does. I'll get Dave to tell me something he doesn't want you to know. Okay, so I'll work with that. But I also want to remind you to come on Monday. We're doing a live Radio Free Brooklyn show called Up Yours at Pine Box, and it's free. It starts at 9. It ends at 11. It's at Pine Box Rock Shop, which is 12 Grattan Street, the L train to the Morgan stop. It costs nothing. And it's Radio Free Brooklyn's own DJ Defiance, host of Up Yours, is hosting a show at Pine Box. It's going to celebrate women and GNC folks in punk music. NB and GN. I'm really, David, do you know what that means? I have no idea. I'm so out of it. NB people? Yeah. Do you know what? No? Maybe
no.
Martin knows. Can you call your son
he
and find?
He probably does.
He probably does, but we don't know.
He's
anyway.
He's more versed in all the initials of that everything stands for.
Yeah. Or, we would just look them up on Urban Dictionary. But anyway.
Right.
If you know what it is, you should come to it. It's going to be awesome, I'm certain, because Melissa's hosting it, and she is a force to be reckoned with, a real, really big personality, and so positive and so fun. So I wanted to make sure I got that in there. So David, so let me tell everybody what's going on, because David and I are in this art fair that opens tonight, right?
That's right. I saw your work.
You did? Was it okay? I'm nervous about it.
So let me describe your work to you and see if I got it right. You made a placemat that would go in like that you would find if you ate in a diner in like New Jersey. And on that placemat are advertisements for things. Instead of being like for the local insurance company or the local hardware store, you are advertising for art galleries like Gagosian and certain artists and sculptors. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, you liked it?
I forgot what your quote was. I hate to say this, but you made a quote about Damien Hirst that just made me laugh out loud.
Oh, yeah, money doesn't matter. It was a quote. It was
money doesn't matter.
Yeah, Gagosian Gallery. Right. Money doesn't matter. I liked my ad for one of my favorite ones is the Louis Vuitton ad that says it's the official luggage of international art fairs.
Yeah. Good.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it. The booth looked really funny. Great. So let me do a plug for this show that we're both in. It's probably, but anyway, so Art on Paper, folks. If you don't know anything, if you're really living under a rock or you don't live in New York in one of those flyover states, you know, like New Jersey, tonight is the opening of the Art on Paper Art Fair, which is at, where is it? It's at 19?
That Basketball City.
Basketball City?
Basketball City, which is at the on the East River. It's in a pier right at the very end of East River Park, below the it's the closest subway to get there. It's not very far at all. It's East Broadway, and then you have to walk down to the river, and it's in this building that is used for our, for events, but it's also a place where kids go and play basketball. And have
I did not know that. It's Pier 36. And I personally am in two I'm actually in three. I'm with Mulhern, which
minute.
David, you're in Mulhern too, right?
I have worked there with a couple of galleries too, yeah.
And
Well,
I'm in, please. Let's see. David, let me just say this,
can
folks.
You even remember
if,
the names or something?
No, galleries. I'm going to tell them, but I just want to tell my listeners what's going on. First of all, if you guys think that David and I are competitive, okay, because we're both in these same fairs, let me just rest assured, David is way, way more successful than me. David has work
in
like major, major collections. David has paintings photographed in architectural magazines, and he sold work in five. Have you ever sold a six-figure piece?
No.
Okay, but you've sold like pretty good five-figure pieces.
Six figures if you include the decimal points.
If you include the decimal points. I have sold more than one, maybe more than one figure, four-figure. I have sold a four-figure piece, David. But anyway, David's doing really well. He's shown internationally. He's got a bunch of galleries, all that shit.
So this is the the Works on Paper Fair is it's pretty good. I was there yesterday, hanging around while Catherine was setting up.
No, why you were building the booth, right? What happened?
I was there. I showed up and I got put to work.
So
I ended up helping. Well, I mostly just hung my work.
You
know, helped her arrange things, and then anyway, the fair is good. I mean, this is obviously the week of art fairs. I didn't go to any openings yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go tonight.
You're going tonight.
I missed it. I'm going to go visit the Armory over the weekend. I'm going to go visit Spring Break.
Yeah.
I'm going to go visit everything, but I did not go to any openings. I'm working really hard on a project for after this week that I have to, I'm going to shoot a video Saturday that I
have. Oh, really? Wow.
Have a lot of things together, a lot of moving parts.
Do you want to tell us about it? You want to tell us about the video?
Yeah, but let me just, the art fair.
So let's finish the art fairs, and then we'll talk about the video.
Yeah. So your work looked great there. Do you have in the others?
Then there's VSOP Projects. Did you see that place?
No.
Oh, okay. So that's the gallery in Greenport that I showed at last summer.
Oh,
Jonathan
great.
Weisskopf, he's a god. He's a sweetheart. He's smart. He's great. Got a great gallery in Greenport, and he put a piece of mine in.
That's terrific.
And then also last year, you know what I did last year, David? I totally hooked myself up with this multiples place. I might have told you about them. Open Editions.
Oh, right.
I went there.
You did tell
Yeah, I went there, I networked, and a year later, I'm working with them, and they're there.
Wow.
So my work's going to be there, too. Now, how many galleries are you in, David? How many galleries are you in?
Only two.
Yeah?
Only two.
So which ones? Mulhern.
I work with Catherine Mulhern, who's here from Toronto.
Mm-hmm. What do you have? Because it's our... Oh, drawing on paper, or...?
I have some paintings on paper and some drawings on paper.
Mm-hmm. David's work is really funny. You should check it out. David Kramer. Check it out, folks. Yeah, and what else?
I have some work with a gallery, a guy named Owen James,
who yeah.
partners with Brooke Alexander.
Mm-hmm. They're
and
great.
They put a booth. And so they have in that booth, like, famous people like Raymond Pettibone and John Baldessari. And then
wow. Wow, that's awesome.
So anyway, it's a nice booth he has some of my work there, but
whoa.
Catherine and I put up some work and a lot of stuff, and it's fair looks good. I'm gonna go over there at 6 o'clock tonight and hopefully, you know.
Hopefully have a good like
time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it'll be fun. It'll be fun. It'll be
yeah.
fun, you know.
I mean, everyone always says that art fairs, artists are supposed to always say, oh, I hate the art fairs. Art fairs are terrible. They're bad for artists. They're bad for art. They're bad for everyone. But I like art fairs. I think it's always fun. I have a good time. The openings are good. You get to see all kinds of people in a big social, like, gala. It's fun.
Yeah, I think they're really fun, too. I mean, the problem for me with art fairs is that it's not a good economic driver for the art industry. Let's not call it art world anymore. I mean, let's just say it. Art industry as a whole.
Yeah. It's killer for a lot of galleries.
It also puts things in showrooms. I mean, it's not the ideal way to look at art, which is ideally, I think, in someone's home or a museum. And then maybe a gallery. Those would be my preferences. But so,
yeah, I agree. I like the galleries. I like making shows in art galleries. I like making shows. And then you never make a show in an art fair. You just work on the wall.
Yeah, or
like you said, it's a trade show.
It's a trade show,
but I
and
like
it,
them,
it's They're, it's not to
I like
be
the trade show, like in the sense that I like going to a convention, you know, like I don't go to conventions, but like I imagine going to a convention. You
right.
see a lot of people in your field and you talk to them and you get to talk to people who are there from California or from Europe who you don't see that often, but they're in town because they want to go to the trade show. So that's why I like it. It's a way to catch up because nobody ever responds to my email.
That's because you probably start off, I know you hate me, but...
Right.
That's how David Kramer is. He'll write to the gallery, dear Mr. Gagosian, I know you hate
know
me, but I'd like you to see my work. Isn't that how you do it? Is that why? That's
pretty
why
much.
You don't. Is that how it works?
That's how it's so successful, though. You get them to feel just the slightest amount of
guilt,
sympathy, guilt.
And then say like, oh, this
guilt.
Guy. This guy really needs my approval. Okay. Well.
Actually, that's totally untrue. Nobody in the art business feels instead of sympathy, they feel Schadenfreude.
Yeah. Right.
They're happy to see you suffer.
Yeah, because you see these things, and then like the prices are so random, right? Either high or low, too.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, so yesterday I went to the big one, the Armory Show. And
So you went to all the openings already?
No, I didn't go to Spring Break.
Spring Break?
No, because you know why I want to brag about our station, Radio Free Brooklyn. I did not go, folks, I did not go to the Spring Break opening, which is the one where most of the people I know personally are in, or I would say the largest group of people, or it's been the most marketed towards me. I'll say that. I've gotten too many emails about it, but I didn't go to the opening because I was at Brooklyn Borough Hall with the founder of the station accepting a grant for Radio Free Brooklyn teen program. I didn't really do much of the work on it. I'm going to say Tom Tenney did most of all the work on this and deserves all the credit, really. But at the same time, I did get invited because I helped out, and it was cool. It was cool. Yeah. Because it was like all these creative people who are getting money from the government. Like that never happened. Wow. A room full of over like 100, 200.
What the hell is going on here? They're giving money, the government, to artists?
Yeah, the city. Yeah. So we got money for it. We got four figures for the.
Wow.
Yeah, David. So that's why I was.
Figures.
Four figures. We got four figures. Or maybe five. I think four. Anyway, so I didn't go to spring break. But so yesterday I went to the, back to me, David. This is my podcast, you know, or my radio show. No. David, what would I be doing if you weren't here talking to me? I'd have to be making shit up or talking about like a gynecologist visit or something to try and keep people interested. And that's not even that interesting.
Like to think that you'd be bad mouthing me.
If you weren't on the phone.
Yeah.
No, I'm more likely to say bad shit to your face. I'll definitely drag you down in front of you, but not behind your back. What's the point?
That's good to know.
Yeah, no, there's no fun in that. If I can't trash talk about you in front of you, why would I trash talk you?
Wow, that's I see the pleasure.
So anyway, I ran into somebody, and she gave me a VIP pass for that particular guest VIP pass for the VIP lounge at the Armory. Have you ever had one of those?
Many times, please.
Yeah. I'm sure you have. You weren't like, oh, like me. But it's really pretty unimpressive, right?
Yeah, it is. I was going to say, you finally found out what goes on over there.
And yeah, nothing.
You still have to pay for your champagne.
Yeah.
But they do give you a free espresso.
Oh, they do? I didn't know that. I didn't want one.
Yeah, that's about it.
But I was plugging in my...
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. No, I mean... That they have nice furniture, comfortable furniture. I just like, I had my phone plugged in. So I realized how awkward it is when you're by yourself and you don't have your phone anymore. Cause then you're actually just looking around, looking at people, which is pretty fun. But then everybody's like, why is that person looking and not looking at their phone? Why are they looking around?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, so I had to get past that, and then I eventually ran into some people, but I had to get past that.
Yesterday, I literally ran into somebody, almost knocked them over on the train.
Really?
Off of the train, and I was not looking at my phone.
Really?
No excuse.
Well, you know.
I just plowed into somebody.
Just your passive.
And I didn't even have a phone in my hand. I was like, how did that happen?
Wow. You must have been distracted.
They must have.
You're probably looking at some chick's ass. That's what it was.
That is right.
You were looking at some chick's ass.
And I ran into somebody else, like straight into them.
You did?
Anyway,
somebody you knew or no?
The Armory Show. What is the opinion on the Armory Show? Do you like it?
Better, more interesting work than I've seen in the past, because they had a lot of stuff that I hadn't. So often at these big art fairs, the big ones, don't you see like kind of like, oh, I saw that last year kind of shit? Or I saw that in another.
There is a lot of, you know what's happened with the art fairs is that, as you said, they're very bad for galleries. So the bigger, stronger galleries just keep on getting the biggest, most prominent spaces, and they bring the same people.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
A lot of the same work all the time,
like the challenge is
good to hear.
At an Armory Show, though, like this is how I look at it. I look at it, and the production values are always really good because they have so much money to spend on making the work.
Right.
So you have to look at something and think, is this idea really good? Is this like really original? Is this really, you know, doing what they want it to do? Or is it just like Okay, so here's a competitive thing. Like, I'm giving away these posters, right? So somebody at the Armory Fair was giving away these posters, right? And so I'm like, okay, there's some... I mean, it's not like I'm the first person to do it either, but... So anyway, so I look at the posters that are being given, you know, as for people who don't know, like it's, who started that? What's his name? Who gave out the candy? What's his name?
Felix Gonzalez
Torres. I think he started it. Like a big stack of free thing, free papers that you give away. It's like a poster or something.
Yeah, so, I don't know if he started it, but he certainly did a lot of that.
He's kind of, he kind of got known for it. He kind of got known for it, I think. Although it's been done a lot. And I can't even remember what the thing said, but it was just plain type, a vapid saying that I can't remember, on a very thick piece of photo paper. And it looked expensive because it was big and it was like thick paper and people were taking them. And I was just like, this is bullshit. It's bullshit. I got to find out.
I can't even remember what it said.
No, but I,
but
I can't even.
What's funny about your placemats, we had a conversation yesterday about them in the space, in Catherine's booth, and there was a discussion that instead of framing them, they should offer to laminate them.
I know, I was thinking about that too.
So you could have your giveaway, but then if someone wanted to up the ante, they could laminate them.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was
thinking. A reusable placemat.
That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, laminate them. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So Catherine liked them. Okay. Of course, I was worried.
Sure. Yeah. I think she liked them a lot. Yeah. They're prominently on a pedestal there.
Yeah, I saw. Was that was that your idea?
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. You're looking out for me, man. You're looking out for me.
I was totally looking out for you. I said to Catherine, "Why don't we put these on a pedestal in a prominent space?"
You did?
And she said, that's a really good idea. And then,
All right, David, I'm going to buy you a free drink. I'm going to buy you a free drink.
Let's go to the VIP lounge over at Art on Paper, which will be certainly a step down from the Armory's VIP lounge.
No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so. You know what I like about Art on Paper? It's like very... It's kind of like, it's not a shit show. It's like kind of like nice work and it's on paper. So it's not, it's saying like it's about like nice work. We're not going to try and like sell you, you know, $1 million painting. We're serious about the work. It doesn't have a lot of like crazy, weird, you know, like weird hit and miss shit, right?
Well, you know, there's a lot of work there that is sort of, stretching the idea of paper or not stretching the idea of paper, but there is a certain amount of work there and a certain amount of really beautiful, intimate work. And I think Catherine's gallery does a really great job. She is a really great connoisseur of people doing intimate work on paper.
Yes.
Like intimate small gestures that are important, you know, to them. And she's, and so there's this intimacy to a lot of work on paper that you really get to see at the Art on Paper Fair, whereas at the Armory, like you said, there is a tendency towards the bombastic sort of
showroom,
overproduced showroom. Shiny objects. And paper works on paper are not about shiny objects. They're really about the touch of the artist and the intimacy of, you know, making something. And I think that's what part of the appeal of the Art on Paper. I agree with you. I think you're right about that.
It's gotten a really good reputation in the last few years. I mean, I think you're absolutely right about Catherine. She is really good at understanding intimate work.
She is. That's something about her program that is pretty fascinating. I do wonder why she works with people as insensitive as you and me.
Well, she's got to have a well-rounded program.
That's
because we make
but a
fun.
A lot of the work there is very intimate and sensitive, and a couple of like jerks like us can somehow squeeze our way into a gallery like that. Really,
I don't know. Well, you've made her some good coin, David. Come on. Yeah, let's just get in. Let's get into like the most base part of this. Anyway, how is your family? You know, I know, folks, if you're listening, I know Kramer's family. Kramer's been on my show a couple of times. And
every time someone doesn't come, I get the call, right?
And I also gave Kramer's son, Martin, his first break in showbiz on one of my videos when he was like eight or nine, right?
That's true. And now he was your first intern on your radio show, if you remember.
4 years ago. Yeah.
4 years ago.
So do you think at the Academy Awards he's going to be thanking me? In a few years?
I don't even think he's going to be thanking me.
Ooh.
My son, Martin, lives in Montreal now. I went to visit him last weekend. I was in Montreal.
Yeah.
Because he's at film school.
There are people listening to this, David. It's not a fucking private phone call, okay? So Martin Kramer is like really brilliant. Martin Kramer is a really unique, brilliant young man. He's 18 now?
He's 18.
Yeah, and he has
he
has a lot of character, and he's a lot of, I think, I mean, besides the fact that he has, like, you know, you as his father and thankfully Susan as his mother, because you got to have one person that has their act together, like Susan,
yeah,
grown up.
Right.
Martin's had the great privilege, really, of growing up in Manhattan and starting comedy. When did he start Gotham Comedy Children's?
Yeah, he was doing comedy since he was around 13, stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
I was in Montreal, and he's producing a really nice short film right now for his school, and he's into it. He's still, he's really thriving there.
Oh, wonderful.
He's doing good work. But it was nice. That's a really interesting place. You know, you can live in Montreal like large. Like, you cannot live like large. Even though he got to live large growing up in Manhattan, he still had poor parents. So.
Well, he lived pretty nicely. You know, middle class folks. Not like, you know, private, expensive, sequestered private schools, but he had it pretty good. He got to go to all that, you know, lessons and shit. He did a lot. Motivated kid though. So how is it seeing his film? What was that like? Did you see the whole thing, or is it in progress, or what was that like?
He's making a film in progress. It's very nice. They're just projects at this point, but it's only the first year of film school.
Was it funny? Is it like funny to see him developing on his own? Like, you don't watch him. Is it like he walked in there and it's like, oh my God, how did he become like a filmmaker?
Yeah.
Was there some of that?
There is, sure.
Because I remember my father taught me how to draw. And I remember when I started drawing better when I came home from college and I showed him like my first semester or second semester, whatever. And I think he was like really surprised that I was like learning all this technique and stuff, because I hadn't known it. He hadn't seen it. Did you get any of that, David?
Yeah, well, what happened was I saw him, I watched his film, and then I immediately came home and decided to produce my own film.
Oh, really?
Rip off of his film.
Really? Are you kidding? Really? Yeah. That's awesome. So the film doing next weekend is just inspired by by him.
A version. No, it's just a version of his film.
So you're ripping him off. It wasn't. Is that what do you mean?
Yeah, directly. I'm directly ripping him off, actually.
And that's not kidding. And he knows it? You mean, why should you have original ideas? You had him. That's original enough, right?
Exactly.
You kind of own all of his output because you made him. You know what?
So the funny thing is that my studio is in total disarray because the building, they knocked down the building next to my studio over the last couple of weeks. And at the same time, the building I'm in is doing all this electrical work. So there's like, we have a generator outside. It's like, you know, the hurricane just happened in Puerto Rico. We have a generator outside the building. Anyway, so I'm filming a film next week at my studio that is like going to be sort of like one of those long walkthrough shots from the ground floor up into my studio through this vast construction site that is now my studio.
Oh, wow.
I think it's going to be really kind of cool. And
oh, wow.
Going on. Anyway, that's...
So you're taking advantage of that.
Yeah, I'm going to take advantage.
So how is that a direct ripoff of Martin's?
No, it's not. But he did do this funny film last summer that had a similar... He had a similar love affair with Scorsese's Goodfellas when they walk through and they do the big walk through the club with and that continuous shot. Anyway, so I'm not ripping him off. I'm ripping off Martin Scorsese.
Don't you wish Martin Scorsese was your son? That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so let me, David, to hang out. I need you. I need you, David. I'm going to do the station ID. David, isn't Radio Free Brooklyn the greatest radio station in the entire world? Don't you think it is?
I think you have to start now calling it award-winning.
Award-winning! All right! Thank you for that. Award-winning. We're an award.
You are listening to the award-winning
Radio
Free Brooklyn.
We're an award-winning station. And I'm really glad you're listening, and you're listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, which is every Thursday, 2 to 3 p.m. Today, I am talking with artist and friend David Kramer. David actually was kind enough to call in, I'm happy, and I mean, I'm enjoying myself, but I was really looking forward to meeting Joanne Briley, who is the founder of the Black Woman in Comedy Festival, because I had a whole lot of questions to ask her about Black women in comedy in the festival. Maybe I'll ask you, David. But
go right ahead.
Anyway, thanks for listening in. And I think because we have all these programs and we're a nonprofit and we really, our rent just went up, basically. We're really struggling. And we provide a lot of great service here, and including a teen program, after school program for teens, which is really helping teach teens about media literacy and radio. So you should go to radiofreebrooklyn.org/donate. So, so this woman, this is what I was really wanting to find out, David. I'll tell you what I was looking forward to asking her, which I was going to center the conversation around. So the festival that she started is the first festival, and it says the Black Women in Comedy Festival was born out of rage. For decades of being left out, unseen, and overlooked in the industry, we decided it was time to have something of our own. And so I was really hoping that I could like get her to really come forth about that rage. Do you know what I mean? Because whatever that rage is, I want to hear about it.
Right.
Because I think it's really hard to imagine, like we all, I mean, I know like, you know, you're a woke, I consider you a woke person and you want to know, but it's really hard to ask these questions sometime and it's hard to imagine, don't you think?
Well, a lot of what I know, I'm just a white man.
You know, so do you get shit? A lot of white men feel like, yeah, I'm a target now because I'm a white man. Do you feel like that in the age of Trump and the Me Too movement?
I'll tell you the truth, though. You know, as a Jewish man,
mm-hmm.
I always felt like I wasn't really white. So that was a whole
thing.
You know, I lived in a town. I grew up in Westchester, New Rochelle, and you know, we had a country club up the street from me that didn't let Jews join. So, you know, while I was a child, I always felt like we weren't really part of. But you know, then many people will tell you that like Jews own everything. So, you know, what, you know, so yeah, sure. I feel like a I do understand why there's people who feel like I'm a white man and everything like that. But
and yeah, everything's great for you. But don't you ever feel like some resentment because the real white guy privilege are those guys that are like CEOs and stuff like that, and you know, flying. The people really getting the perks. Like you're not. I mean, you know what I'm saying. You are selling work in five figures, but still, you're not like running a huge business. You know what I mean, David. You're not. You're not driving us. But I mean, so
I think that I think it's great that other people are starting to get their turn, and you know that there's a comedy festival dedicated to black women. That's great.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, but you better let somebody else talk about it.
You don't want to talk about it. You don't want to tell me. You gotta fill this. This is what I was waiting for. This is what I wanted to talk about. The rage of black women, David. You're not up to this.
Let me mansplain exactly what those people are thinking. I'm just going to get in trouble, Lisa. I mean, you're really putting me in a position to speak in bigger trouble.
That's why I had you call in, because I'm trying to make you feel awkward. This is my whole goal, and it's not working. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I'm not going there.
You're not going there. So, no. So is there going to be a storyline in your film? Is there a cast? Is there craft service? Is there casting? Who's going to be in it?
I have a whole crowd. There's a great actress, Susan Mitchell, going to be in it.
And, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Wow, you got her in it? Wow.
Yeah.
She's a real actress,
I got a lot of people in it. No, but it's a big... sort of it's sort of an interesting video. Honestly, there's a whole lot of activity that I'm going to create within this walk up the stairs into my studio with a lot of cats doing different things. But I'm going to do a show in June at the Front Room Gallery.
And right.
The video is supposed to be a part of that exhibition.
Oh, wow.
As long as that's what I'm working towards, is this Front Room Gallery show for June of this spring.
Of this spring. That's coming up.
And it's coming up. So that's what I'm...
Oh.
What's happening.
Well, it's very exciting. We're going to have to make sure that we do a lot of promo for that.
Maybe invite me on your show with a little bit of
We could. We'll talk about... Yeah, maybe actually help talk about your work.
Yeah.
I find
it a little, you know, I don't have a really good elevator pitch to give you about my art video that I'm making right now.
When I shoot it
and I see what it looks like, I will have
it better be good. Let's not talk about it. I want to see it and decide if it's good enough to talk about on my show first.
I think that's a good idea.
We have standards.
But like I was sitting around when I called you. Mm-hmm. Making props. So right now I'm making cans of flammable substance. They're painted cans, you know, to be dumping on artwork, you know, because we're going to light things on fire.
Wow. That sounds so dangerous. Does your landlord know?
My landlord does not know.
He does now.
My landlord's great. Yeah,
he does now. You said it on the air.
I said it on the radio.
Yeah, and you know he listens.
To award-winning Radio Free Brooklyn.
Everyone's listening to this. Everyone.
Yeah.
So they're pulling your... So that must be disturbing, right? They're pulling your studio apart.
So they knocked down the building next to my building, which is very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be part of this building, but it got sold off and half of it. So, you know, you can feel time dissipating here in Brooklyn, in my Williamsburg studio.
You can feel the gentrification moving in.
You could build. You know what they're going to build in that spot, which will tell you exactly what's happened to this neighborhood.
What?
They're going to knock down that building and put up a new building in its place that is going to house a rock climbing club.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
A healthy rock climbing club.
A healthy rock climbing club so that the new residents of Williamsburg will have a place to climb rocks.
Right.
Yeah.
Instead of actually like going outside where they have rocks naturally, they're going to pay to have
fake rocks.
Climb
rocks. Yeah, exactly.
I
heard there was going to be an ice wall there. They're going to have an ice wall, and yeah, so that's what's happening here in what used to be the artist neighborhood of Williamsburg. Is, you know, now there's going to be a rock climbing club.
Oh,
so,
man.
You know, I mean, this is, gentrification is here. I mean, no surprise. But
you know what? You know what? We need to, we need to form a rock throwing club.
Hey, you're always thinking.
I think that would combat the gentrification.
Yeah.
We should throw rocks at the people going into the rock climbing club.
I know. I'm kind of hoping the business model of this rock climbing club is to have rock climbing and serve drinks.
Drunk rock climbing.
I think you can actually make money off of this business. And then, of course, there'll be a lawsuit at some point.
I know. Well, you also have to, like, get sex in there, because somehow if there's no sexual aspect to it, you can't make any money. Like, they have to either have skimpy outfits or like the drinking and like a hookup, a way to hook up by rock climbing together.
Well, I think they're going to have like strapping guys helping women climb rocks. I think that's the other part of the business model.
Okay, so here's a pun coming at you. So are they going to call it Get Your Rocks Off Club? That's so bad. Sorry. I had to say it. But you know what we could do is we could make, like, let's get some rocks and paint them or put sayings, or we could make some rocks as art rock, and sell it to them. You know, collector's items.
Yeah.
Souvenirs.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a little bit disconcerting right now with the studio situation here. And I don't know, you know, I've been told we're safe and we're going to be here for a while, but you could just see the wave of gentrification coming.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
My doorstep. So that's part of what this video is going to try to capture the studio as it is, as this sort of weird, you know, spot that still exists in this neighborhood. But for how long is the question?
Yeah, gentrification. Well, I was thinking that, you know, what do you think about the whole thing about Amazon, them getting Amazon to pull out? What do you think about that?
Well, I do think that I happen to have thought that, I mean, look, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm no fan of Amazon. I'm no fan of corporations. All these corporations moved to New York. It's so funny, like Vice has took over a whole section of Williamsburg, because Williamsburg was so cool, and now that section of Williamsburg is nothing like it used to be. Google's done the same thing to Chelsea. You know, I'm not happy about Amazon coming, but at the same time, it was a lot of, you know, a lot of jobs for a lot of people, and a lot of people getting upset about Amazon coming were people who didn't need jobs. So, you know, I do think it's a, I don't have a, you know, a fully formed opinion on
yeah.
that.
Well,
but, I do think that the idea of giving away a tremendous tax breaks to a multi-billion-dollar, you know, a billionaire who has, a multi-million-dollar business is, you know, it's like, I think the tax breaks were going to the wrong people, the people that really needed it. But, you know, I'm not sure that it was such a victory that they're not moving here either.
So. Yeah, I'm a little bit torn about that, although I do really like the idea that it is going to slow down gentrification. But I do think that no matter what you just said is something that's great that's come out of this, is that we're all now the public is way more aware of how this deal was made, the tax breaks that were given out, the lack of information that the public had. I mean, this deal was basically made behind the public's back,
right?
Cuomo
was made in the back room.
Yeah. and without transparency. And so I am really, really happy about that. And, you know, I mean, there's part of me that's happy that they're not going to be moving in. And then there's part of me, well, might have brought in some good jobs for people who need them. But at the end of the day, calling out people on, you know, making crappy, you know, making deals that they shouldn't be giving them tax breaks. No fucking way.
I mean, you know, the other thing I complained about Google coming into Chelsea and changing the neighborhood just by their sheer presence, but they did not come to Chelsea with this, you know, begging or bartering their way into a huge tax break. They came. I have people who live in the building I live in Manhattan who tell me that the reason why Google moved to Manhattan was because their employees wanted to be there. And so they decided to uproot some of their offices and create an office in Manhattan for their people. I mean, that is, so it was to their benefit and they knew it. They didn't have to come trying to get blood from a stone like Amazon just did. So,
right. Yeah. And so anyway. Also moving to Manhattan, we all take for granted, well, that seems like a very central location. Moving to Long Island City, you don't know. And also, you know what's really fucked up about the whole Amazon thing? They made it seem like this big competition and you were going to win. But they let no one knew about the fucking tax break aspect of it. And that people were buying their way in. And that makes me crazy angry.
Yeah.
So they...
Well, you know, yeah, it's a disgust. You know,
I felt a little used. Again,
yeah.
I felt a little used when you know, I feel a little used like every day.
Right. What else is new?
times they are changing. Well, you know, like the whole. You know what really started all this? I think is Harvey Weinstein getting taken down. Once Harvey Weinstein got taken down, like it showed that people have the power to some degree. I think it was the beginning of a big change in perception. I mean, just, you know, him getting taken down, all those other guys getting taken down. R. Kelly, he's getting taken down. Michael Jackson, you know, we're just throwing everyone on. You name it.
Yeah, everyone but Trump.
That's a lot more complicated.
Yeah.
You know,
it is interesting, though. It is really interesting on to that point a little bit. But I was thinking about this Trump situation with Michael Cohen, with the whole thing. And it does seem, perhaps, that if he is going to get taken down, it probably will be because of him paying off Stormy Daniels. I mean, that is, you know, that is the thing that's probably going to take him down. So it is kind of a funny sort of irony that he also will be taken down indirectly, you know, finally, because of him writing checks while he was president of the United States in the White House.
To
cover up his illicit affairs. So,
yeah. Yeah, out of all that shit, look what happens. What is wrong with you guys? You know, look at what happened to Bill Clinton. He got taken out by a chick. There's so many chicks in the world. Why are you guys mess around with the wrong ones? You know, like R. Kelly, he got young chicks. He should have gotten young. Deaf and dumb. That's not even funny. Deaf and dumb chicks. That's just mean. Funny. That's not mean. That's just mean. That's fucked up. I can't say that. Can't say that. And Michael Jackson. Wow. Did you see that? Yeah. The artist and the art. What do you think? Can you separate the artist and the art?
It's going to be tough. I don't know.
It's going to be hard with Michael.
I mean, to be honest with you, listen. I'll be honest with you, like, I couldn't really, I'm not an R. Kelly guy. I don't know at all, but Michael Jackson's like a, you know, like, iconic.
Yeah.
Know? It's kind of like, it's like taking down the Beatles.
Yeah, no, it's a big deal. But, you know, I was just thinking about, you know what I was just thinking about? I was just thinking about it. For example, Pee Wee Herman, right? For those of you who are listening who don't know that Pee Wee Herman was great. He had a child show. I don't know. I mean, I'm old. I don't know if you guys know this, but he had this really breakthrough, fabulous, funny, hilarious, special, you know, really, really great children's show for children and adults. And then he got caught jerking off in a theater, a gay porn theater. And then after that, he got taken down and no one watched the show and all that. But like now he's sort of coming back. And I can look at the time I was sort of horrified, but now I can look at, I could watch Pee Wee Herman and forget that he was, you know, he didn't really hurt anybody. It wasn't that bad what he did. He just fucking jerked off in a theater like everybody else. So what? But, so it wasn't that bad, but I could separate that now. How about you, over time, maybe?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The thing with Michael Jackson is just a weird thing because like, you know, I don't know, just cause you grew up, everyone grew up with that music. I mean, it's just,
yeah,
it's just so ubiquitous, but, right. It's an interesting thing. I don't know. I was just thinking, I was talking to somebody recently. When I was a younger painter, when I was a younger art student, someone came to my studio, like in art school, a teacher, and said, who's your influence? Who's the artist mm-hmm. that most influenced you? And I literally told this professor at the time, this was in 1987 or so, mm-hmm. I said, Woody Allen is my biggest influence. I mm-hmm. just love his video. And at the time, he was making movies like Hen and Her Sisters and Manhattan yeah. and Zelig. I mean, he yeah. was banging out these yeah. incredible movies.
Yeah, brilliant shit.
And I still feel like those are great movies.
Me
and
too.
I haven't liked his work in 20 years, but 30, you know, since then, really. But it's interesting to think that that was someone who I, and now I feel kind of, even though I just said it out loud on the radio.
Yeah, we're on the greatest station in the award-winning station in the world.
Award-winning station.
Hey, stop laughing. That's it is award-winning. What are you fucking laughing? Shut up, David. Just shut the fuck up. What?
Award-winning station. What is wrong with me? You know, I mean, people are hearing this, but you know, it's an interesting thing. Like, I'm not supposed to say that anymore.
What? That you like Woody Allen?
No, at the time, honestly, like those he had a. Woody Allen was making these movies and he had an understanding of, I mean, he had nostalgia for a city that was disappearing.
Right.
He said so back then in the, you know, New York was changing right under his feet and he was making films about that and it was sentimental. And
there were great, great films then and the great films today, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't like his work so much right now, he's been doing, but it was great work. And it's just, anyway, it's just kind of a bad thing that you can't really admit to that. Like, I still go back and watch.
Oh, you feel bad about saying that you like those films?
I'm just saying, like, you know,
you don't want to ever
positive about someone like that. It's like, you know, you're like not supposed to even.
It'd be like,
am I supposed to say anything nice about Michael Jackson ever again? I don't know.
I mean, well, the thing about Woody Allen, though, is that he actually. Well, he didn't really, he fell in love, really. I mean, he's very committed to his wife. And,
yeah.
You know, he didn't really like take it. I don't think he really took it. It's a little creepy. We don't really know. They didn't live together, but it's not like, you know, it's not like what Michael Jackson did, which is manipulate. I don't know, you know, if he did manipulate her, she's totally on board now. Right?
She's totally on board and they're still together. So
yeah. Like, so I think Woody Allen over time, you know, I think time helps put things in perspective. But you know what else mm-hmm. I think? I think that what's happening now is society is revisiting all this stuff and the rules have changed. But the problem is like the part of the problem is that the rules were wrong in the beginning. Like if we had been more diligent about, you know, our values, you know, about not exploiting children or women or using sex to manipulate people, like if we'd been like that, these people wouldn't have gotten called out so late. They should never have gotten in the position in the first place. And our society as a whole, we're all responsible for that. Well, I'm not,
yeah,
because I'm just an innocent. I'm just an innocent girl. But no, I mean, we're all responsible for that, you know, in one way or another. And like my guest, who should have been my guest, Joanna Brilli, who's doing the Black Women in Comedy Festival. Now she's doing something about it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, she took action, you know, so I give her, there are people like that who aren't, you know, responsible, but, you know, I haven't done anything like that. So I'm going to say, like, you know, I didn't really do anything about it either. Although I did sexually harass all the men at work during the Anita Hill hearings, telling them how great they looked, and I wanted to see how they looked in those new pants and shit like that. And can I sit closer? I made them all crazy; they couldn't handle it. But you know, that was my protest.
Yeah.
So you've got the show. We've got four. Can you believe how fast this went, David? We got 3 minutes left. So you've got this. You know, you're going to be in Art and Paper. What else? What else you got? Let's do some promo for you. What else you got going on?
Okay, let's do some promo. I got a lot of projects going on.
Okay,
I am very excited to find out this past weekend that there's an Art on Paper show in Montreal called Papier.
Uh huh.
And I'm going to be in that April 25th, and I'm actually doing a special project there where I'm bringing my. You know, I made a film called Hooking Up with Dave.
Right.
Which was about this hook rug project that I had done.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me to bring the hook rugging project to Montreal for Papier. And I'm going to have that coming up. And also I'm going to be in April. There's a book fair in L.A. And Owen James Gallery is making a book for me right now.
Fabulous. What kind of book? What kind of book?
It's a book of my funny little pencil
drawings. Your work?
That are black and, you know, pencil drawings that have little jokes on them and pictures that I've been doing.
Wonderful. Is it black, white, color?
It's going to be black, white, and color. Yeah.
Fabulous. That's great. How much are those going to sell for?
I'm not sure yet. They're going to print soon, and we'll decide on the whole thing. But that's
fabulous! That's great.
And,
what else?
Yeah. What else? Nothing.
The show in June. Is that your focus?
I have a show in June which is going to be fabulous. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Is
that your focus right now? Your show in June.
It is. Even mm-hmm. though I have these other projects in April, I'm and the works are on paper. I'm really paying attention to that. And then in this fall, I'm going to be having some work in, I'm going back to Paris.
Fabulous. So, what are you going to do there?
With Laurent Godin. Well, I think that I'm going to do a, I'm making a bunch of work for him for this, a project for Marseille. And then we're going to do something at the gallery also coming up, but we haven't set a date for that part of it. But
have a lot going on. That's really awesome. You must be really busy. I mean, like, you got pressure, right? Or you feel pressure? That's a lot of work you got to get out there.
I'm very productive right now. That's why I'm on the phone with you. And
yeah, and being productive with me.
Progress.
Well, we're promoting your work, so you know there right. You are being productive. Anyway, yeah. Thanks so much for being here here today.
Well, it was nice talking to you.
Yeah, really fun.
You said you were going to buy me a drink, and so I'm going to hold your feet to the fire over at Art on Paper later today.
Great, great. Well, thanks. Sure. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for listening to Dr. Lisa.
Bye-bye, Lisa.
Bye-bye. Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm here every Thursday, 2 to 3. Right directly after this, we have Lost and Rewound with Elon Danziger, who's hilarious. And